This is episode 108 on January 26, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and anything else that may come to our mind. I am Joseph Ferreira.
I am Matt Hoffman.
And I am Mark Sadowski.
Oh, we're back. We're back. We had a little bit of a hiccup, but we are back. And what have you guys been up to? Let's start with you, Matthew.
Oh, a little bit here and there. Just a little bit of photography and hiking, trying to find things to do here in Ohio, and dislocating my shoulder while trying to roll my kayak in a swimming pool.
No, not good.
Yeah.
Typical January.
You know. Yeah. You know, it's funny. The first time I've ever dislocated my shoulder, which was 3 years ago, it was in January.
Oh.
So my shoulder and January just don't get along.
Yeah. I hate getting old.
I hate January.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with getting old. I'm pretty sure it has everything to do with January.
I think we pretty much flat out found the cause.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll briefly mention that, you know, I've been, you know, sort of just, I haven't been too creative lately. It kind of been sort of like getting through colds and you know, other sicknesses and work and everything. So I haven't ventured out, you know, to do anything, but I need to. And so I think I'm going to, you know, push myself to do that.
Again, we can blame January.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and what about you, Mark? I know you've been kind of quiet on the whole spectrum of doing things. Tell us your story.
Okay. So we haven't recorded because of me. I'm the one who handles like the bulk of the audio backbone, let's just say. So yeah. Things for you guys to hear such awesome things like Sad Hulk music or this beauty.
Let me take a selfie.
You know, I need to have the soundboard. And so the software that I use has been stuck in basically in the dark ages. I'm still using Snow Leopard just to run everything. And that has me pinned to one computer, which is using a split hard drive that's running both. The primary operating system is Yosemite, and Snow Leopard is kind of just 50 gigs in its own little corner. Now, what happened to that computer is it's getting old. It's getting really old in the tooth. It's running on an old MacBook Pro, and lately it's just been having more and more issues to the point where like the battery pretty much flat out died. And I've had to have it plugged in the whole time. And then to make matters worse, I thought the kids did something to my trackpad because the trackpad started to pop up. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm thinking they hit the right side down.
Too hard?
Too hard, where the left side popped up. And then after a while, I'm like, you know what? That doesn't make sense, because I would have seen some sort of impact or anything. There's like nothing. It's just a little bit tilted. And then a week later, I noticed that my laptop is not sitting properly on the desk. It's kind of all wobbly. And I'm looking at it. This thing is freaking swelling. I'm like, uh-oh. Do a Google search, and I realized that the battery has not only died but swollen.
Ugh.
And at that point, the computer just, like, when I noticed it, the computer finally just gave out and would not turn back on. Whenever I move the computer, basically I'm cutting off all power because it has no battery. So when I power down and move it, you know, it always powered up until this one time where it didn't. It just said, you know what, I'm not turning on anymore. And that's when I paid a visit to the Apple store, and they're like, they look at it and like, oh yeah, it's definitely the battery. And, you know, we'll change it out. Believe me, we've seen worse. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So they were telling
me. Wait, is that good?
We're doing the show, so yes, it is good. So the cool thing is I only had to pay for the battery, but any damage that it caused around the battery pack, they said that they would replace on the house. I'm like, all right, that's cool.
Nice.
And so they fixed it. It was a 1 day turnaround time. And not only did they fix the computer, but they gave the computer like this Wizard of Oz treatment. And by that, I mean, remember when they went to the Emerald City and they got all pampered up?
Yeah.
That's what happened. My computer gets shipped into Apple World, where I had imagined they bring it past those swinging doors and a bunch of people are singing a song and snip, snip here and boop, boop there. I'm imagining that's happening. And they basically fixed the battery, buffed the aluminum.
Oh, wow.
And cleaned the screen. And they brought it back to me the next day. And I noticed that it looked beautiful. It started up fine. And it had a pair of ruby slippers for some reason. So I'm like, oh, I guess it's a girl. All right. I never knew. And so here we are.
Nice.
The downside is this green woman is flying around my house doing all sorts of crazy stuff. I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure it's something to do with the neighbors. I don't know.
Yeah. Either that or she was blown in by the snowstorm.
Yeah. I'm sure it's nothing.
That's quite the story.
I'm sticking to it.
I like it.
It's totally original and not infringing on anyone's copyright.
Well, I was going to say, maybe we need to check with the lawyers and see if we need to, you know, bleep out some names.
Lawyers, is everything okay? Works for me.
Oh, well, that's great. Let's,
So we're back. Thank God.
Yes. Yeah, we're back. Let's go ahead and, let's just, start moving into the rest of our show, and we wanted to talk about a subject that came up on Facebook.
Yeah, Matthew, let's go into Focus Point.
Yeah.
Focus Point.
I got the computer back. Damn it, we're using soundboard.
Okay. Matthew, why don't you lead us in?
All righty. So if anyone doesn't know, we have a brand new, shiny, and beautiful Facebook group.
We do?
Yeah, it is. You should check it out sometime, Joe.
I need to check it out.
Yeah.
Seriously, Joe, go check it out.
If you're on Facebook and you want to find it, you would just go to facebook.com/groups/tinyshutter. Anyway, this past week, one of our friends, Jennifer Rourke, posted that she was having an issue with shooting photos at night with her iPhone. And she wrote, "Advice, please. What are the best apps or ideas for shooting at night? Not at the night sky, but at night or low light areas. I find all my photos go a bit grainy. Not really sure how to remedy that." So that ended up sparking off kind of a bunch of comments, which were all super duper helpful. And Mark and I had a lot to say about that. So we kind of wanted to discuss that now.
Yeah. And she gave a couple examples because the topic in and of itself is pretty broad. Are you photographing people? Are you photographing landscapes? And in Jennifer's case, it was all of the above. She just wanted to kind of get a all out better, method is photographing in low light, dark conditions. I thought we would tackle photographing people and photographing landscapes. I think those are the two big ones that we can both address. Do you want to go first, Matt?
Sure. So yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing to photograph in darker scenarios with an iPhone, because it's just not really built for that type of photography. And the main reason for that is because the sensor is so small. So when you have a small sensor, the pixels on it have to be really small. And in order for them to get enough light in a darker environment, basically what has to happen is the ISO has to go up. And back in the day when there was film, you would just put in ISO 800 film, or if you were shooting black and white, maybe ISO 3200 film. But you would have really grainy pictures. And that's kind of what happens when you boost the ISO digitally. What's happening is the camera kind of has to amplify the signal, which is the light that's hitting the sensor. And sometimes it just doesn't go very well, and you end up getting different types of noise. Some of it is color noise, which is just pixels that end up not really knowing what color they should be. And then there's other types of noise that kind of just look like grain, but in a color picture, they end up making it look really lousy, and it makes the picture not look sharp, and it's just really not that appealing. So we were trying to brainstorm ways to get around that, and we had a couple people in the group that suggested putting the iPhone on a tripod, which probably isn't always practical. Most of the time when you're taking pictures with the iPhone, it tends to be more of a spontaneous type thing. But if it's your only camera and it's, a hobby that you really enjoy, it's really not a bad idea. The other thing too is, now that we have the ability to control things like shutter speed and ISO manually, doing that will really benefit you. So you could set your ISO to the lowest setting, something like ISO 100, and that's going to end up making your shutter speed a lot longer. But again, if you were using a tripod or some other way to keep your iPhone steady, I think that will really help out a lot.
Yeah, using a tripod and some sort of device that will clip the iPhone to the tripod. And also, it's important to have a remote trigger. Instead of tapping the screen or using the volume up button, it's probably better to use your earbuds.
Yeah.
And using the volume up button on that to use a remote trigger, if the app in question has the ability to do a remote trigger. The native camera app, if you use the volume up button, that functions as the shutter. And likewise, it correlates to your earbuds. The volume up button on that will function as the shutter as well. So you have this little remote that won't shake the phone while taking a picture. So that's really, really helpful when you're using a tripod.
And another idea there too is, depending on what camera app you're using, you could also set the self timer.
Yes.
So even if you have to tap the phone, by the time it takes the picture, any vibrations will have settled down.
Yes.
And then, speaking of vibrations, another one of our ideas, was to try some of the different camera apps that are out there, like Camera Plus or PureShot or Pro Camera. Specifically, those apps have a stabilization feature. So if you turn that on, basically if you end up using a slower shutter speed, that'll help counteract any shake from your hands, and you'll get a nicer picture, a less blurry picture that way.
Yeah.
And then another idea that I had, and I think that this one would be the most practical when shooting people, is to consider turning your photos black and white. So there's tons of great apps out there for, you know, converting your pictures to black and white. I like a lot of the black and white filters in ViscoCam. Perfect Black and White by On One Software is also a great black and white app. But basically, any grain and noise that you have in your picture will look a lot more natural because black and white film tend to be grainy anyway.
Right.
So that's what I got. So hopefully that will help a little bit.
The other that helps a lot with landscapes, but when you're photographing people, that turns into a whole other ball of wax, because people aren't as cooperative and won't settle for you setting up your tripod and getting everything ready. So bringing your own additional light source might help. In all honesty, when you're photographing people, the best thing to do, if you're just bringing your iPhone and you just happen to have that one moment where you really need to take a photo of a person, just use the LED light on the iPhone. That's probably the best way to get somebody photographed. When you're at a wedding reception, do that. But in addition to that, like, all right, for example, say you're at a wedding reception, you want to take a nice group photo. Yes, absolutely use your iPhone's flash. But if you're with a group of people, just borrow somebody's iPhone and flick on the LED light and hold it a little bit from a distance. So, like, you're photographing the person, and with your left hand or your right hand, depending on which one you want to use, hold the other iPhone with the light shining at the group and use it as a off-camera steady light, and keep it at an arm's length and take your photo, and boom, you have a decent photo.
That's a great idea. This just goes to show how adverse I am to using the flash on the iPhone. I didn't even consider it.
When you have to, you have to. I can't stand using it either. I will do what I can to keep from having to use it. And if you want to get really fancy, there are other off-camera alternatives for lighting, like the Nova light that you can get off of Amazon for like $50. That connects to your iPhone via Bluetooth, but you pretty much have to use their camera app, or I think
you can use PureShot.
PureShot
645.
Right, there are some other apps that will hook into it via Bluetooth that will allow you to use it. And you can adjust the lighting to be warm or cool. And again, keep it at arm's length. They use that as an off-camera flash. And I mean, it's okay. Personally, I never did an official review, but you know, it's good for what it's worth. The kick light is also pretty good. The problem with that one is that sucker is bright. They put a lot of power into that thing. So you have to, if you're using that as an off-camera flash, then you have to really power it down to so that you don't blind your subjects. But if you need something, if you have something that's nighttime that needs to be daytime, that's not bad. So those are other alternatives for photographing people. But yeah. If you really need to, there's no shame in using the iPhone flash for photographing people. And
you can always fix it in post.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they've gotten better since.
They have. Especially the two-tone, being able to adjust for color balance.
Yeah.
Because the old ones, it was just way too cold. And would, you know, just, it made it look awful. But, you know, I still need to practice more with the flash, especially in darker situations.
Right. And if you're, I mean, the other thing to consider is if you're at a wedding reception trying to photograph people, or in any location photographing people, mind your setting. If you need to move everybody to, you know, just a few steps to the left or right, just to be in some better light, do it. It's worth it. I mean, if you're photographing kids running around in the dark, then guess what? There's no prayer in the world that you're going to get a crisp, clean photo. If you want to do that, get a DSLR.
And even then, it's tough.
Even then, it's tough. And the other thing to do is switch it to video and get video instead. That's a little bit more acceptable and a little bit more forgiving, because you won't mind them running around being a little blurry, because at least they're being cute at that point.
Yeah, that's good.
And please, if you're taking video, please take it horizontally, not vertically.
Yes, I was going to say that. It boggles my mind. I actually had to think of why people do that.
It's easier and to hold.
No. Going back to the original phones that could take video, they had it, you know, to where they could flip it up and it was automatically set for a horizontal recording, and people got used to it.
No, it's not. You're thinking way too far into it. Stop using. All right, look, you gotta do the Jack Nicholson approach, and stop thinking of it with common sense. People who take video on their iPhones vertically, it's because it's easier to hold. That's how they hold it to receive calls, to read texts. Let's face it, to read texts and right. And to take selfies. That's how they hold it, is vertically. So when they're taking video, it fills up the screen, so it must be good, and that's how they do it. And then they have no idea how much wrath of God that they're bringing upon the world. And
it's bad because, for one thing, you know, when I watch a concert on YouTube, professionally done, it looks great, but people are still holding up their phones in vertical mode with something that is already being recorded. And they're just, they look like idiots. I'm sorry. It bugs me.
Yeah, I'm still going to the anger management meetings still.
Yeah.
I've had some progress, but then I did another wedding and saw it all happen again. It's, yeah. I'm waiting for the trial date to begin. So that's all I can say.
Oh, well, that's good.
I kid, everybody. Please keep your letters to yourself.
I hope that helps Jennifer and anybody else who is looking to, get some good quality shots in a low light or nighttime situation. If you guys have any questions, feel free to, leave a post on the Tiny Shutter Facebook page. And you will have many people chiming in with their experiences and their techniques. It's pretty cool.
We've had a lot of suggestions. One person in particular gave a good suggestion, saying that use the app Average Night Camera, which I'm going to test out. I just haven't had a chance to do that because my computer has been experiencing Armageddon lately. So you can get creative with that. But again, that's really good for landscapes or still objects. It's not really good for people. But there were some really good suggestions in there. And I think we've touched on some of them, then claimed it as our own. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. It looks like it's 99 cents in the App Store. I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, I'm going to, now that I have some time on my hands and I don't have to pray to a number of deities. it's something that I'm going to test out pretty extensively. So, yeah. Yay. Facebook group. Check it out.
Nice. All right. Let's go ahead and let's move into some apps. And
Sorry. That's the wrong one.
I want to say the app scene has slowed down tremendously for us in a way that, it feels like the app bubble is about to burst. When we first started doing this, there were a lot of new apps that were coming out that really were pushing the envelope. And it seemed like there was one or two or three every week that were coming out and, just wowing us.
How long ago are you talking about? We were just experiencing this just a couple of months ago.
Well, okay. Whenever a new phone or a new OS comes out, then things start to change a little bit. But for the most part, I don't think it's been, it's quite the same as what it was in the beginning. But, we sometimes will stumble upon an app. Every once in a while, somebody will tell us about it, or, you'll see it in the news. Here are 8 free apps that you can get, blah, blah, blah. Half of them are garbage. And then there are some that, really, like, wow, I always pass that one up and never delve into it. And there's some neat stuff in it. So every once in a while, we'll have some apps that we'll bring up on the show that'll hopefully help in editing or getting, being able to capture some great images. I have a couple that are, I kind of passed up and didn't really look at because they had a brand name that I don't usually use, and that's Photoshop, Adobe. And
I thought you were going to say Polaroid.
Yeah. Well, if it was Polaroid, it'd probably be something different.
All of the podcast.
Yeah. But one of these apps that I think has been around for quite a while is Adobe Photoshop Express. And I had a picture that was sent to me by a friend it was of my wife and I from about 8 years ago. And it was, a great picture. The problem was we had red eye. And I'm like, oh, I could get rid of that. So I was like looking through my apps and I'm like, really don't have any red eye, apps to take the red eye out. So I searched around and
you got to use antibiotics for that.
Yeah, right. Stop, going into the medicine cabinet. Adobe Photoshop Express has a great one-touch, red eye removal. And so I was like, all right. So I downloaded it, and I was like, hey, this is great. And it removed it. Well, I started poking around at the app, and sure enough, there was something that caught my eye that I thought, this is awesome. And it's, it's rare when I have to say this is awesome for an app. One of my things with the iPhone 6 that has really bugged me was the digital image stabilization, because I think it is butchering my images. It is, causing them to look painted. We've talked about this on the show before, and I'm really hoping that, people are noticing that enough for Apple to say, here's an option to be able to turn it off. Well, I stumbled upon Adobe Photoshop Express's noise reduction slider, and it is brilliant. It takes that painted look away and makes it smooth that you can't even tell that it had that effect to it. And then there's a few other things in there. They have, filters and adjustments and everything else. If I want to adjust a image, I'm going to stick with Snapseed, but that app is going to be in my go-to for when I want to post images, that I, want people to see, so that I can, you know, not have that crazy effect that the iPhone does to the image itself. I thought that was really cool. And one thing that is a little buggy, but, you know, I got over it, was Adobe wants you to sign in with your Adobe user name. So you have to have a username and a password to be able to use the app, but it's free. I think there are other things in there that require a purchase or some sort of an account.
It's part of the Creative Cloud initiative.
Right, right. And I think like Photoshop Lightroom for the iPhone is one of those. But it, I'm not paying for anything, and I'm using the app, and it's wonderful. I have, I think it's a great app to be able to get. So check it out, and it's, like I said, it's free in the App Store. And the other one by Photoshop is Adobe Photoshop Mix, and that was one of those. Read an article, oh, here's a list of 8 apps that are free this week. And, you know, so I was like, oh, okay, I'll check it out. And it said Photoshop Mix. I looked at it. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Looks like it's cool. What it is it's an app to, that you can use to be able to remove a portion of the image from one image and, like, remove a subject and superimpose it onto another image. They have some pretty cool creative examples that they show. And I say, yeah, you know, what the heck? It's free. I'll check it out. And, you know, it's probably not going to be one of those ones I'm going to use all the time. But they have an image that caught my eye of they took a picture of a cat and a picture of a horse, and they superimpose the head of the cat onto the horse so that it looks like, you know, it's pretty flawless.
Those monsters.
It's a horse with a cat's head, and it looks really cool. So I think there's things in the future that you can do to be able to, use that type of app. Like I said, I don't think I'll use it every day, or it could be like I use it once a year. But I thought it'd be neat to be able to say on the show so that, you know, more creative people than I will know about it and do some pretty phenomenal things. So those are the two apps that I wanted to mention and let everybody know about. Matt. Oh, actually, let's go with you, Mark. What app do you have?
I have a silly little app that my wife found. And one day I saw her just giggling away. And turns out she downloaded this video recording app that just does some weird things. So it's an app called Crazy Helium Booth, where it changes your voice and kind of skews your face. And so she was playing with it with the kids, and you know, the kids were fine. They kind of looked all right, but the app really, really turned my wife's face into a caricature. It was uncanny how cartoony it made it look.
Really,
and it changes your voice. I mean, the helium voice and everything. So she was like just dying laughing with it, and so I tried the app. She set up this skew moment thing, it kind of makes you look fatter, and like I needed help. So mind you, this is in the middle of me trying to, you know, fix my computer. I haven't shaved. I'm wearing my baseball hat, and so I sit down on the couch. I'm kind of just, you know, kicking back, and I aim the camera at me, and I'm looking into the face of Michael Moore. I'm like, wow. It's time to lay off the sodas. And it was an like, you look at my photo, I look nothing like Michael Moore. But the photo that the video that it was taken, it was just uncanny Michael Moore, like spit an image.
Are you gonna post it?
No, I'm gonna cry actually.
Oh. Hold on.
So I bought it. It's something that me and the kids do. So me and my wife pass to one another when we're in the bathroom. Like I'm on the can. What else am I gonna do? I'm gonna watch YouTube, or I'm gonna screw around with the phone, look at pictures and stuff. I might as well make the most of the time and be a little creative. And I might do the memoirs of Michael Moore on the can or something like that. I don't know. Yeah. The problem is, I think he's already done it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
There's got to be somebody who's beat me to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a silly little app. There's a free version, or there's one that you could get for, like, $1.99 or something like that, or 99 cents. I just paid for the ad-free version. Why not? It's a good chuckle. And, yeah, Jesus, I looked fat. In fact, I have some audio of it. Yeah, it was I'm gonna cry myself to sleep tonight.
That movie's almost 20 years old. Or is it? No, it's over 20 years old now. Never mind. Okay.
Moving on. Yes, Matthew, we're old.
Yeah, I know. Matt, you have an app you wanted to mention.
Yeah, I came across a pretty cool filter and editing app. It's called Analog Film. And it's basically a app that simulates different films from, you know, back in the day when people used to take pictures with that sort of stuff. In particular, I like the black and white stuff. You got a lot of Kodak, you know, Tri-X and T-Max films, some of the Ilford films, which are pretty cool. But then there's a lot of the other Kodak color films like Portra and Kodak Gold, which why you would want to simulate that, I don't know.
Portra is actually really nice.
Portra is gold. It's just your standard average cheapy film. I was referring to gold. I don't know why you would want that look, but it doesn't look like anything. It's just whatever.
Yeah. Do they have Kodachrome?
They have Ektachrome.
Is that the
same? I don't know. There's a lot. There's over 400 presets in this app. It's really hard to explain them all, and I'm not even going to try to do that, but basically there's, I don't know, maybe like 30 groups of presets, and then, you know, each one of those groups has like, you know, 10 or 15 presets in the group. So it could kind of take you a while, like especially when you first get the app, to kind of go through and decide on, if you don't have like a look in mind for your picture, you know, it you could be there for a while kind of going through and, you know, seeing what all the different presets do or whatever. But they're all, in my opinion, they're pretty good. They're not real cheesy. They kind of reminds me of ViscoCam. You know, they're lightly, you know, kind of subtle filters. And then it's got a pretty full set of editing tools. So all the things that, you know, you could do in pretty much any other editing app, you know, your contrast, saturation, sharpening, temperature, all that kind of stuff. But there's a couple other things that I really like. It has light leaks, which I suppose are gimmicky, but sometimes they're kind of cool. And you can also adjust film grain texture. So if you like really want, you know, film grain to look like golf balls on your picture, you could do that, or you could make it real subtle. They also have frames, and at first I was like kind of disappointed when I was scrolling through the frames. I was like, whatever, you know, you could make your picture look like a Polaroid, like whoop-de-doo. But they also have, I don't know how else to describe them other than film frames. So for anyone that's shot film before, especially if you've shot like medium format film, you know, when you get it back, it would, on the edges of the film, it would say like Kodak and whatever right. kind of film it was, you know.
Yeah.
They have those, and it, but it's like the real film. Like they scanned,
really,
you know, the film, so it looks like totally legit.
And oh, they got really, Fuji. I'm sold.
Yeah, they're beautiful, beautiful.
Do you know how I got frames when I was printing my own analog pictures? I just made the picture smaller.
There you go.
Sorry.
That's okay. In any case, the app's $299, but it is over 400 presets.
Wow.
So that's the way I kind of justified spending $299 on it. And I actually, in our Facebook group, in the next like day or so, I'll post a before and after picture.
You know,
just like
awesome.
The regular picture from the iPhone camera and then the edit from this app.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to do a review of Photoshop Express and show a before and after of my daughter, and so that people can see, you know, that type of thing. I think as we go along, you know, we said we were going to do some more reviews. I did one for what's it called? Hold on. I'll pull it up right now. For Group Shot. And I showed, you know, my family and how, you know, when you have multiple kids, they don't all cooperate at the same time. And how
Nonsense.
I was able to.
They all cooperate. You're just doing it wrong.
That's right. I was able to merge them into a single frame where they all cooperated. But I think doing the Photoshop Express, and Matt, if you want to write something up for the analog app, we'll have those on the website, tinyshutter.com.
Right on.
So
this app is really good, Matt.
It is. I wouldn't steer you wrong.
I got a sweet winter photo that I just made using some little bit of Kodachrome magic.
I'm intrigued.
Me too.
Well, speaking of sweet winter photos, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week.
Ah, and I can play the soundbite for reals this time if I can find it.
Post pick of the week.
Yay. All right. So I went ahead and I chose this week's post pick of the week, and I showed it to both Mark and Matt, and Matt mentioned that I need to be shaming people because this is an awesome, awesome image. The person who shot this image was Nepali, I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher your last name, Beth. Bathleet, I believe. I'm sorry. So it's NEPALI underscore BIATHLETE. And if you want to see this image, go to tinyshutter.com. Look for episode 108, and it'll be the show image, the post pick of the week for episode 108. And this is an image of, it looks like a, would you say it's a weed or some sort of a tall grass, but it has snow on it. And behind it is a bunch of snow, and then it looks like a sunrise.
Everybody knows weed doesn't grow in the snow.
Yeah.
Have you been to college?
Stuff's dead.
Oh, that weed. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, yes. No, not the...
legally medicinal stuff from California.
Right. Yeah. No, this is a wild plant that has pretty much no value to it. But this image is awesome. And I do have to say it is a very pleasing image because it has both warm tones and cold tones in it. And it's pretty fitting for January, especially if you're up in the New England or Ohio area. It's still like 50 degrees down here.
Ah.
You know, we're going through an Armageddon of snow right now, and you offend me.
What are your thoughts on this, Matt?
It's a solid picture. I love the shallow depth of field.
Yeah,
and I just like the way the sun in the background is just kind of like bursting through.
Yeah,
it's definitely one of my favorites that I've seen lately.
Yeah. What about you, Mark?
I really enjoy the photo, even though it's winter and it's making me cry on the inside. It's a really sharp photo. I really dig it, even though it's not the weed that Joe was promising me.
If you want to be post pick of the week, hashtag your image with the hashtag Tiny Shutter on Instagram, and you will join over 26,000 other images that are under that hashtag.
Nice.
And each week we go through, and you know, it's so hard to choose just one, but we try to find the best of the best in it. And also, if you are on Instagram, you know, I've had lately probably 3 or 4 people start following me, and I noticed that they were following the show. And so I went ahead and followed them back. Look for people who are in the group Tiny Shutter and follow them and be able to check out what they're doing. And you may see an image on there and ask them, man, how did you do that? And they may be able to tell you, or, you know, they may not be able to tell you because they don't know how they got it themselves. But it's a good way for us to interact with each other and to see great images. And same thing with Facebook. Hint, hint, Joe. Get on Facebook more often.
Oh, okay. Right?
Yeah. Geez. What was it? What was I thinking?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Well, do you guys have anything else you want to mention?
Pray that this computer lasts longer.
I'll be doing that, Mark. I will.
That is all for me. I am going back to looking out the window and praying that the snow doesn't cover the house as the news claims it will.
What are they calling for?
They're calling for the end of the world, which is, they're calling the snow Juno for some reason. I don't know. That doesn't really strike fear to everybody anywhere. We're looking for probably 24 inches by the time this thing is done.
Wow.
Which I know people out west saying, psh, pussies, but... you know, so be it. It's going to be a heavy snowfall, and it's supposed to come down. We're supposed to get like maybe 2-3 feet of this stuff.
And, speaking of images, they were showing pictures from, oh gosh, must have been like 1888 or something like that, of New York City just covered in tons of snow after a blizzard. And I'm thinking, what are they trying to say something? Are they saying it's going to be that bad? But
well, it's supposed to, like the legend here is the blizzard of 78. That's the kind of like the benchmark that we have for snowfalls. You guys don't have that.
No.
because you're not from around here. And Joe, you're barely seeing snow as it is in your stupid tropical weather that you could shove up your butt. Goddamn sunshine for you.
My mom texted me today and California was having 70s, almost 80s. I was like, oh.
Shut up and go back to her dryer.
Apparently Ohio had a great blizzard of 1978.
Yeah, same with, I guess it was the same
front. Same system.
Same system. It was supposed to be like probably around February.
51 people died.
Wow.
Yeah. But back then, they didn't exactly have the best snow plowing techniques or the cars that could handle it.
Yeah. Well, if you are in the snow, stay safe and try to stay home and take some nice snow pictures.
There you go. Try not to go stir crazy. Don't drink any red rum. Things like that. Keep yourself busy.
That's right. All right, well, let's go ahead and close this out. And Matthew, why don't you tell the world where they can find you?
People can find me on Instagram and Twitter at mhoffmanphoto.
Marcus, where can they find you?
You could find me probably under the bed trying to relax after all this madness. I'm on Instagram. You could find me. I am that Polish photographer, and I am mostly Marcus on Twitter. And by the way, I want, before you, Joe, when you sign off, I want to mention one more thing about a crazy little app.
Sure. Well, go ahead and say it.
A while ago, I suggested people, you know, if you're curious about your Instagram traffic. There's an app called Followers Plus. And remember when we had the great exodus of robots and spammers? Yes. Well, it's funny because you can actually see who those people were because there's a little thing that I noticed. I've never looked at it before, but it's called deleted comments. And I'm like, who the heck would delete a comment after a while? And I'm looking through it, and then when you try to look those people up, those people don't exist anymore. So the story goes, and everybody has been quick to jump on this meme on Instagram, which I got to say is really funny, so keep it up. People will write to me saying, that's a great photo. You should be a photographer, which means they're listeners of the show, and that's awesome. I love it. And that all stemmed from a comment that I got from some girl.
On Facebook, yes.
No, not on Facebook, on Instagram. Saying,
oh, that's right.
Like, wow, that's great. You should be a photographer. And I'm like, wow, I'll really take your advice to heart and, you know, follow my dream. Thanks, Jiminy Cricket, or something like that. I was really sarcastic, and I never heard from the person. And then just recently, I got that comment again. Like, not from a listener. This was from somebody totally random that took a ton of selfies of herself. So I'm guessing she wasn't exactly a listener. And I'm thinking, is this a real person? Like, and then it dawned on me, I'm like, could this person be a robot? And surely enough, the comment was deleted after a while and the user didn't exist anymore. I'm thinking, oh my God. This was a freaking robot talking to me. And here I am trying to be a sarcastic ass back to her, or it, in this particular case. You know, here I am telling Wally where to stick it. And then suddenly all the satisfaction is gone because it was just some mindless computer. It was all it was Agent Smith talking to me from the Matrix. So I'm coming back to that. So if you guys want to check out all of your deleted comments, download the app, and it'll be mind-boggling how many comments are deleted and how many spammers there actually are.
Nice.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Joe, where can they find you on the web?
Well, you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira, and you can follow the show, too, on Instagram. We have... Actually, I really haven't done much with the Instagram account, but we do, like I said, have that hashtag, and you will see a lot of good images in there. But go around and follow anybody who, you know, is in that under that hashtag, and you will meet a lot of people that are affiliated with the show. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/tinyshutter. Yes. And it'll say Instagram. iPhone photography. iPhonography.
Is it iPhonography? Now you got me second guessing.
I know.
I'm the one who created the bloody group.
iPhonography, a Tiny Shutter group.
There we go.
And, you know, join us there and leave a comment, ask questions, and post nice images. And you'll walk away learning something.
I'm just thrilled that we're like almost 120 strong in that group.
Yeah.
We are 120 strong.
Are we?
Mm-hmm.
I'm showing 119.
Oh, well, then somebody left.
Release the hounds.
Oh, also, you can find all the show notes on tinyshutter.com. If we mention something here on the show, we'll have a link to it so that you can find the apps and not have to search through a bottomless pit of photography apps that are in iTunes. And leave a comment. We've had a few people leave comments on the show notes and say that we're doing a good job, or, you know, why, well, actually, probably not why we're not doing anything better, but I think they're all delusional. But leave a comment and check us out. So, all right, Mark, why don't you lead us out of here?
We have been seeing two different comments, actually. I got to go back to the website to see what they've been saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
And we're buried in snow. Well, at least I am. All right, guys. We're out of here.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.